idea, have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Boy, I wonder where Maria got that schmuck that was she was playing the clip from earlier. And good evening, everybody, at your service here. Brad Young sitting in with you till 10 o'clock. And, you know, I will always tell you the truth, always. And that's why I need to start the show by telling you about a false rumor that is going around today. There is no truth, none whatsoever. There's no truth at all to this vicious rumor that President Biden actually called Trump today to concede the election. There's no truth to that. He didn't make the call. He didn't complain. He just that's just a false rumor that's being spread by the Babylon Bee. How you doing this evening? It's like, what? Did something happen yesterday? I'll tell you what, who was a busy guy yesterday, and that's Kyle Sixta. Kyle, you were like pulling the you were here doing everything last night, weren't you?
I was here, yes, for the election coverage.
And there was a lot going on between Hancock and Kelly running between here, and they had a TV studio set up here at the KBOX
for
Fox 2, and you had guests, wall to wall guests, including, you know, again, some schmuck named Brad Young was on at some point in time, and. So it was a busy night for you.
Yeah, it was great last night. The election coverage, I think everyone did a great job, and it came together nicely.
Isn't that fun?
It is.
I also, while I got you on, I always like to sandbag Kyle because I don't want to give him any chance to prepare. But today is National Nacho Day. So Here's my question. Everybody loves nachos. I don't know if I've ever met somebody that doesn't like nachos.
Everybody loves nachos.
Everybody. I mean, it's just it's in our DNA, right? If you look at our DNA, there's a yellowish pudding goo that's in our DNA. We love it, right?
At least 50% cheese.
I'd say. 50%. Well, you know the stuff my wife used to buy. That nacho cheese at Sam's that comes in it's like almost like a 5 gallon bucket of just cheese goo. Mm-hmm. And she quit buying it because she looked on the ingredients at one of her, she bought, I don't think it was Sam's or Costco or one of those big box stores, but there was almost no cheese in it. So then you got to say, what's the rest of this goo? I don't know. It's deliciousness. But apparently it's not cheese.
Yeah, it's a little worrisome, but it's definitely delicious. I'm sure. I don't doubt that for one second.
But here's my question. I'm doing an informal poll. I talked to a couple of people at my office today. I said, okay, nachos. Purists say you've got nothing on it but cheese. Others like to pile stuff on. Like when I go to the ball game, I get the proficient. No, what's it? It's what's the name of the place where I go and get the nachos? Alberto.
Oh,
Alberto,
yeah.
Nachos.
Yeah.
Okay. I go and get them from there and I stack the stuff up there. So for you, Kyle Sixta, nachos with stuff, or is you a purist and just cheese?
I'm on Team Brad. I'm loading it up. I'm throwing the ground beef on there. I'm throwing the cheese. I'm throwing the peppers.
Jalapenos.
Anything I can find. Yeah, of course. I can find, I'm probably throwing it on the nachos. The more, the merrier.
Oh, absolutely. But you know what? There's one thing. Here's the one thing my trick. Whenever I'm at Alberto's at the game, because I've got season tickets, I see a lot of games. When you're diving the tongs into the jalapenos, you got to drain them. You got to shake them a little bit, because if you don't, then you get too much watery nachos, and nobody wants watery nachos.
That's fair. That's a good point. I don't know if I am going that specifically. I think I'm just loading it up because I'm starving. But that's definitely some attention to detail that I'm way too careless to pay attention
to. Okay. Well, next time you're there, you'll think of it. You got to shake it. You got to shake the tongs to drop out the liquid, because they're always floating in some kind of, you know, jalapeno juice. You got to shake it or else they become watery. Dump it on the nachos, and then the nachos don't get ruined by the liquid. It's great.
Good to know.
Okay, good to know. And I'm glad you're in Team Brad when it comes to nachos. Hey, we're going to have the phone lines open tonight for a couple of reasons. Number one, obviously, we want to talk about the election. And I want to hear from you. And I'm already hearing, oh, my goodness, I've got in a whole bunch of texts already about nachos. One person says, better off using Velveeta cheese and a can of Rotel tomatoes. Listen, that Rotel, if you've never had Rotel, Kyle, you know what Rotel tomatoes are?
I don't know if I recall having it.
If you make them at home, if you're making nachos at home, you absolutely have to use Rotel because it's spicy. They're tomatoes and they've got jalapenos chopped up in with it. And it adds, it brings the heat and it's all in a can. You just open a can, you go. It's great. It's cheap. It costs a quarter or something stupid for the can. So Rotel, guaranteed to make your nachos pop.
All right. That sounds great. I'll give it a try.
It works great. Also here I got folks texting in 314. Apparently it's nacho night here on Camel X. 314-436-7900. Also best nachos, loaded beef, jalapenos, pico de gallo, and cilantro. Absolutely perfect. And I got some others here that I can't read on the air. But listen, here's the thing. In addition to being Nachos Day, today is also National Stress Awareness Day. And you know who's having a lot of aware of her stress today? That would be Kamala Harris. She's got some stress today. And as Lucille Ball used to be told by Desi, she and the Democrats have some explaining to do about why they did so poorly. So I've got lots of stories. I always come in every Wednesday night with about 30 different topics to talk about, so it's not a problem. But I'd like to hear from you about your reaction to the election, what went right from your perspective, why things went wrong. Also, I want to talk to you about Amendment 3, the abortion. I've already talked earlier when I was on with Matt Pauly a little bit about Amendment 2 when it comes to sports betting, and I've already exchanged some texts with folks tonight about my position that economically it's not necessarily good for Missouri to have sports betting. It sounds counterintuitive, but when you dive into the weeds on that issue, I'm not sure at the end of the day either our schools or our local businesses or our state government in any way benefits from sports betting. But that's the beauty of talk radio. We want to hear from you. 314-436-7900. Call or text on At Your Service, KMOX. And welcome back to At Your Service, where we're breaking down the election. And unlike a podcast, unlike Joe Rogan, unlike Sean Hannity or Lawrence O'Donnell on MSNBC, unlike any of the folks in media, this is a show that you get to participate in and direct the course and flow of the show. That's why I'm here every Wednesday night, because this, to me, is what makes talk radio different from any other form of media that you consume during the day. And I'm thrilled that you're a part of the show. 314-436-7900. Call or text. And Steve is up first. Hey, Steve, welcome to KMOX, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I got two questions for you. Number one, when will Amendment 2 be put into effect or law?
Amendment 2, we're talking about the sports betting, correct?
Yes, sir.
Amendment 2 has two built-in features. The first feature is it's supposed to be implemented within 30 days. That it doesn't
Good.
Mean, well,
Good.
Hang on a second. It doesn't mean that there's betting in 30 days. What it means is that the state has to start the regulatory process of creating the regulations necessary to implement sports betting within 30 days. And secondly, there's a fallback saying that regardless of how long it takes to get the regulations in place, there's an absolute drop dead date of December 1 of 2025. Now, it's my understanding. Well, here's the thing. It's my understanding that when Kansas implemented this, it took them less than 3 months to get the regulations in place to allow for sports betting. So in Missouri, I've heard anecdotally that they want this in place prior to the Super Bowl so folks can bet on the Chiefs. We'll see if that happens. I think that's too quickly, frankly, from my perspective. But those are the parameters that we know at the moment.
This is bureaucracy at its finest. Number two question. I'm going to ask you this. I'm going to hang up because I can imagine what. On Amendment 3, should there be two sub-questions of that? Number one, should the Fifth Amendment be considered in your decision? And number two, which is, thou shalt not kill. And number two, should the husband or boyfriend, or both the husband or boyfriend, whoever, shouldn't they have a right in making a decision? I'm going to hang up and see what, listen to you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Steve.
All right.
Your question is, should the the fifth commandment. You said amendment, but I think you meant the fifth commandment. I think that that is a moral imperative that people should take into consideration. I'm a Christian. I would absolutely apply that. However, having said that, I don't think that government is required to abide by the dictates of Scripture. The First Amendment to the Constitution prohibits that. Do I think that that should guide how people vote? Absolutely. Do I think that should guide and be a requirement for the government to follow? No, I don't. So on that point, I don't think it applies. The second point is, should the male father of the aborted child have a say in that? I think that parent too should. It takes two to make a baby, and they should have a say. I'll tell you what, the father has a financial responsibility. If a man is responsible for a woman becoming pregnant, that father's held financially responsible. So if the father is being held financially responsible for the outcome of that relationship, then shouldn't the father also have a say in the termination of the results of that relationship? And that, again, that's logic. That makes sense. But under Amendment 3, it's not any part of Amendment 3. So legally, under the law right now, the father has no say one way or the other. Now, I think we're probably going to see litigation over that as that moves forward. But as it stands, based on the face of Amendment 3, the father has no say. Dan's holding as well. Hey, Dan, how you doing, sir?
Good evening, sir. Great to speak to you. And I'm glad the abortion thing came up this week also. It was discussed last week, but I couldn't call in. But, you know, I can't believe people talk about it so flippantly. I mean, the left likes to call it reproductive rights, and that is such an abomination of what it actually is. People, it is so sacred and important to not, you know, quote unquote, cause that problem in the first place. People need to be responsible, and it's not like getting a small skin tag removed. It's a big deal to have an abortion. It risks her life. Now, additionally, guys need to be held responsible for creating that situation too. But anyway, I could go on about that. But also, regarding Trump, I could not be happier, and it always pains me when you talk about how you don't like him to some degree, but he's human also, and he's not perfect, but I think his greatest quality is that he does recognize that government is warped, too big, and out of control, and has been perverted, and he sees the swamp and needs to drain it. And
absolutely correct, Dan. You're right. I mean, that's something I agree with Trump on. In fact, I agree with Trump on a lot of things. I just couldn't bring myself to vote for him for a number of reasons. But philosophically, when it comes to those issues, I'm in 100% agreement. In fact, I think one of the best things that Trump is going to bring to this country over the next 4 years, if it happens, is making Elon Musk in charge of government efficiency. To me, government efficiency is an oxymoron. It's like jumbo shrimp or military intelligence. You know, they are terms that contradict each other. Government efficiency. And yet Elon Musk has proven he can do things that no other human being can do. He's a modern day Tony Stark. And if anybody can try to bring some level of efficiency to government, I think it's Elon Musk.
You are exactly right. I mean, they have treated him so horribly. It has been so unfair, twisted, and disingenuous of the media, how they've treated him, that I got to tell you, I'm praying for him.
Sure. Well, we know what? We should always be praying for our leaders, regardless of whether they're Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, Socialist, Communist, whatever. We should be doing that, and I'm glad you will be.
For sure. But the people against them, they seem to have no morals or limits. So I just hope that he can make it through it, and we can too.
Well,
thanks for your time. It's absolutely great to hear you.
Dan, love when you call in, sir. Call in anytime. It's great to talk to you.
Will do. Have a good night.
Good night. Hey, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to go through how the Trump victory for the White House, how will that impact all of his legal issues? I mean, this guy has more, you know, legal issues than the Kardashian family. So I'm going to break down how his election, his status as the president-elect, how will that impact the criminal cases, how will that impact the civil cases, how will it impact the state cases, federal cases, all the cases except for the briefcases. I'll be breaking that down next right here on At Your Service. Stick around. Welcome back to At Your Service. Brad Young in with you this evening until 10 o'clock. And as I mentioned before the break, I want to go through how Trump's election as president, as the 47th president, is going to impact all of these myriad of legal cases, whether it's criminal, civil, federal, state. I mean, he's being sued everywhere except maybe the Court of Claims in Brunei. I think that's the only place where he hasn't been sued. But other than that, first of all, before I dive into some of this data, I'm going to do a little bit of a deep dive here. But first of all, let me tell you that legal strategies, this is something I have to craft every case that I have. I have to come up with what's my strategy to defend this case. And a lot of times, believe it or not, a lot of times delay is a legitimate tactic. It's a legitimate legal strategy. Now, most of the time, that's the opposite of my legal strategy because the courts themselves can be so slow in terms of how they move that more often than not, for me personally as an attorney, I'm trying to move things faster than what the courts will let me do. So, but in this instance, as I've been looking at Trump's strategy, his strategy in all these cases has been delay, 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 challenge, challenge, challenge. And now you're seeing the result, the fruit of that particular legal strategy, because most of these cases are going to disappear. You can argue whether it's right or wrong. You can argue whether he's guilty or innocent. That's a different topic. I'm talking about legal strategy. And if you're hired to represent a client, you do your best for your client, regardless of whether you like him or not. And in this instance, that strategy worked perfectly by taking everything up on appeal, challenging every issue, challenging every order, making the process take a long time. That was a brilliant strategy. And now we're seeing why that strategy worked, because now when we're on the precipice of Trump returning to the White House, most of these cases are going to disappear. So let me go through some of these. First of all, let's look at the state case in New York. This is the case overseen by Judge Mershon. It dealt with the New York case where he was sentenced to a crime for 34 counts of falsifying business records to cover up the hush money that was paid to Stormy Daniels. Okay, we all watched it. We all saw that. Of all of the criminal cases, if you've heard me here on Camo X, I've broken them down. Ones I thought that were legitimate, others I thought were illegitimate. Now, talking about children, talking about legal cases here, this was one of the ones I thought was illegitimate. There are so many legal problems with that case that I just don't see at the end of the day any appellate court, particularly even in New York, upholding those 34 convictions. But that being said, the question here before us is, how does the election impact this? Well, twofold. First of all, the sentencing is scheduled for, I believe it's November 26. So on November 26, Judge Mershon is going to be sentencing Trump to something. Now, I believe, as I've done the math, he could be ordered to serve as much as 4 years of prison time. Some might argue that having to spend 4 years in the White House is like a prison term. One that, though, that has pretty darn good food. I don't think you're getting that kind of food when you're when I saw Shawshank Redemption, you know, they're not eating that food from a presidential dinner, state dinner. They're not eating that. So in any event, how will that apply? Well, by November 26, I think we're going to know one way or the other whether that New York case is even going to remain viable. Why do I say that? Because on November 12, Judge Mershon has given himself his own self-imposed deadline to make a decision. And that decision is Trump immune? Does he have immunity from those convictions because of the Supreme Court decision that was rendered over the summer. In that Supreme Court decision, the Supreme Court stated that presidents have a certain degree of immunity. Some of it is it's called partial immunity. They're not immune from everything. When Trump said he could hire a Navy SEALs team to take out his political adversary, that's false. That would not, there's no court anywhere that would uphold that as being part of the president's duties. However, the question becomes, when he was paying this money and he was already elected president at the time that the books were sent to the state of New York, he was already president. Does that come under that issue or that umbrella, as it were, of presidential immunity? Judge Merchan's going to reach that decision on November 12th. If he decides that it does not, and says, in other words, if he says the presidential immunity decision does not apply, therefore, I'm going to proceed with sentencing, I guarantee you 100% that that's going to be appealed. And when that gets appealed, it goes up to the Court of Appeals in New York. That's going to take months and months and months. And by the time that gets resolved, he will already be seated back in the White House. So we're not going to get an answer to that in November, unless Merchan says, I think that there is some merit to this, and I'm going to dismiss all of the charges. If that happens, everything's gone away. So one of those two things are going to happen here within the next 3 weeks. But it's a state case. Remember, it's not a federal case. A lot of folks are asking, can Trump pardon himself? You know, that's a great question. And that's a question that I've researched many, many times. And I'll spare you all the details of the research. But the results of the research is essentially this. It's a very nuanced position. I've got no idea. That's the nuanced position. We don't know whether a president can pardon himself or herself, because it's never been done. It's never been done. As close as we got to this was twofold. First, we came to something like this, obviously during the Nixon administration, and we also came across something similar during the Clinton administration. But in neither situation did the president try to issue a self-pardon. So there's a big question. And Supreme Court scholars that are exponentially smarter than I am have looked at this issue and said, I don't know. We don't know, because there's no precedent. See, the law always looks at what has been decided before to give us guidance on how to decide something today or tomorrow. And since this has never been decided, there's no statutes to look at. It's not covered under the Constitution. We've got a big fat question mark, and we don't know how that's going to be resolved. So, but even if he can, even if Trump can pardon himself, that would only apply to cases in federal court and under federal law. He could not pardon himself, not at all. This is an easy question. He could not pardon himself for those state charges in New York that were overseen by Judge Merchan. Can't happen. Cannot happen. So we'll see what Judge Merchan has to say on November 12th. And if he decides that he can proceed with sentencing on November 26th, I promise you that'll be appealed. And this will be delayed until well after President Trump is sworn in as the 47th president of the United States. Secondly, let's look at those federal cases. Remember, there's two federal cases pending. One is in Washington, D.C. Judge Chutkan is overseeing that. One, it was in South Florida, Judge Eileen Cannon. She's already dismissed that case, and that dismissal is up on appeal. What happens to those cases? Well, let's deal with the easiest question first. Could Trump pardon himself? I think he has the option to try, but I don't know, number one, that that would work legally. And number two, he doesn't have to do it. Why? Because those are under federal law, and Jack Smith, the prosecutor, is a special prosecutor, not an independent counsel, but he's a special prosecutor when it comes to prosecuting these crimes for the Department of Justice. And so at that point, he answers to the Department of Justice. And when he answers to the Department of Justice, that means he serves at the pleasure of the Attorney General. And when Trump appoints a new Attorney General in January, that Attorney General can fire Jack Smith.
Now, it came out today. CNN reported a lot today. They reported, first of all, that Jack Smith is currently in discussions with the Department of Justice and Democrats in the House about how to wind down his investigation and his prosecution. That's currently in the mix right now. So I'm also hearing from CNN sources that at the same time, Jack Smith has told members of his prosecution team that he doesn't want to step down. He wants to be fired by Donald Trump. And so that presents a question and a legal issue, and that's going to have to be resolved as to whether or not the Department of Justice can fire him, which I think they can. But also, I think Jack Smith is looking for the publicity of being fired rather than quitting. We've got Jason holding on the line. Hey, Jason, welcome to KMOX.
Hey, Brad, how are you?
I'm doing great, sir. So,
real quick, as a felon, I happen to know that the only pardons that you can receive are from me being in Missouri. The governor of Missouri could pardon me for my felons or for my felonies, but also I could also receive a presidential pardon. So he could technically pardon himself from his charges in New York. That's not off the table for him. Does that make sense?
But I think that's incorrect. From all the research that I've done, I don't practice criminal law on a regular basis, but I don't believe a president can pardon. In fact, it's widely been reported that if Trump wanted to get pardoned for the state charges in Georgia, that he would have to go to the governor of Georgia to pardon him because he couldn't pardon himself in matters that are pending in state court. So
federal law trumps all of state law.
That's true. But if a person is being charged under state law only, then at that point, the president doesn't have the constitutional authority to pardon someone who's being charged solely in state court.
So I'm just for conversation's sake. So if President Trump was to say, hey, to myself, I wouldn't give you a pardon, he couldn't do it for Missouri.
Yeah, I don't believe the president cannot pardon a person if it's in state court in Missouri. If a person's convicted in the federal courts of Missouri, which there are, I practice in front of the Eastern District Federal Court frequently. So if it's there in the federal courts of Missouri, yes, the president could pardon it, but not if it's in the state courts of Missouri.
Okay, then I stand corrected.
Okay.
All right, thank you so much. I wasn't really sure, and when I heard it, I'm like, man, I was always under the impression that the president could pardon you for state and federal as well. So
nope.
I stand corrected.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate you calling in, Jason. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So if Jack Smith takes the position and says, you know what, I'd rather be fired rather than quit, then nothing's going to happen. He's still going to stay on the payroll until January when Trump's attorney general gets seated, and that then it would be inevitable that Jack Smith would be fired. When he's fired and a new special counsel is appointed to that position, they're going to look at it, they're going to dismiss the charges, and everything goes away. So all of those cases, both in Florida and in Washington, D.C., will be gone either when A, Jack Smith resigns, or B, when he gets fired in January. One of those two things will happen. Finally, there's that Georgia RICO case. In the Georgia RICO case, you remember, that's fun because Fannie Willis was having an affair with one of the other prosecutors, and the judge had to bring in conflict of interest issues, and then that's all up on appeal. So at this point, certainly the governor could pardon Trump in that situation. I don't think that'll happen. But what I foresee happening is the prosecutor gets removed, a new prosecutor gets appointed, and once again, if a new prosecutor comes in, they're going to say there's no point in prosecuting a sitting president because it's going to be put on hold for 4 years. And if it gets put on hold for 4 years, then it would be dismissed for what's called want of prosecution. So what's the end game? In all of these situations, Trump's legal issues are essentially over. Do you think that's fair? Do you think that's just or right? What are your thoughts on that? 314-436-7900. We've got more news of the day next on At Your Service. We are breaking down the election here this evening on Camel X at your service. Brad Young in with you until 10 o'clock. Thanks for staying up late with us here on literally the 50,000 red hot watts here in St. Louis. John's calling in. John, welcome to Camel X.
Hello, Brad. How's it going tonight?
It's going great. We're having a great time in here.
I bet you are. Yeah. I was calling because there's a prediction that I made back in the early spring, which is before Biden dropped out of the race. And I want to share it now that the election's over.
Okay.
My prediction. Donald Trump will not be the 47th president. He will be the 48th. Joe Biden will resign before Christmas so that Kamala can be the first female woman of color president. There's no way Joe Biden's going to stand in the way of that.
You know, the reason why I'm laughing, John, isn't because I think your idea is preposterous. I mean, to the contrary, over dinner tonight, my wife and I were discussing that very idea over dinner. Would he resign from office?
And oh, no, it's not a would. He will.
He will. Well, I've loved to have been pointing out that I started predicting right here on Camel X in January that Joe Biden would not be on the ticket in November. And so that came to pass. So I'm not opposed to Hail Mary predictions, John, because you know what? With Hail Marys, sometimes they actually work, okay? So I think there's a lot of merit to your plan. You know, the only flaw, this is what my wife pointed out when we were talking about this at the dinner table tonight, and she said, and I want to get your opinion on this, she said, you know, I bet you Biden would like to do it, but Jill probably wouldn't let him. What do you think of that theory?
Unfortunately, there might be more validity to that than we think. May I share one more comment regarding 2028?
Absolutely, you can.
These two names are interchangeable. I don't care which one is president, which one is VP on the ticket. Are you ready?
Okay.
Haley Gabbard.
Haley Gabbard. So what you're doing there, just to break it down for folks, you're basically putting Nikki Haley and Tulsi Gabbard in a blender, and you're coming up with Haley Gabbard, knowing that one's going to be president candidate, one's going to be VP. It doesn't matter which one. Is that the gist of it?
That is it. And here's their slogan: get things done or let's do this.
Okay. Or our hair is fabulous. That could be it too. You know, I mean, they both got good hair. And listen, as a person who's follically challenged, okay, that's a code word for bald as a cue ball.
Yes.
You know, I'm always aware when people have good hair. So they could have, our hair is fabulous. That would work
very
too.
Good, my friend.
Hey, John, thanks for calling in.
Thank you, Brad.
Hey, great to talk to you. Thanks for listening. One of the things that I always like, and this has happened for 30 years, every time we have a presidential election and running up to the election, some group of celebrities always says, if the Republican wins, we're moving out of this country. And so I wanted to look up today which celebrities have said publicly, most of the time it's on Twitter or Facebook or X or Instagram or, you know, whatever. They've said, we're going to leave this country if Donald Trump wins. So I came up with a list of four or five that I found online. I'm sure this list could be expanded greatly, but these are just the ones that I came up with. Miley Cyrus, she claimed that she would leave the country if Donald Trump gets elected. Well, I haven't heard that she's purchased any first class tickets, rented a jet, gotten on a helicopter. I haven't seen any of that yet. Barbara Streisand. Now, I have to be very, very careful because FCC guidelines apply here. And that is, and Kyle Sixta, our producer, just looked at me like, Brad, what are you going to do here? He's reaching for the dump button thinking I'm going to say something. No. I'm just going to say this, that Barbara Streisand is often used as a euphemistic phrase because her initials are BS. Just going to leave it at that. So, Kyle, you can take your finger off the dump button. You're fine. But Barbara Streisand said she was going to leave the country. All right. Well, you know, goodbye. I mean, she's a great singer. But listen, if you don't like America, there's a place for you. It's called China. And see how much they like you in China. Neve Campbell, the Scream actress, who's made How many millions of dollars did she make on all of those Scream movies where all she did was get chased by some dude in a cape and a ghost mask? And she screamed her head off, made hundreds of millions of dollars probably. So you don't think this country has been good for you and you're going to threaten to leave just because you don't like the president? Listen, I didn't like President Obama, but I said he's my president. I never said I was going to leave the country if President Obama was elected or when Bill Clinton was elected. I never said any of those things because I love America. And America means you love your president, whether you like him or not, and whether you like her or not. And if Kamala Harris would have been elected the next president, you would have heard me say she's my president. Because she's the president of this country, which is the greatest country that's ever existed on the face of the earth. And I don't think that's even a debatable statement. Lena Dunham, she said she was going to leave the country. She said, Vancouver, I can get my work done from there. As far as I've been to Vancouver, Vancouver's lovely. Didn't see her there when I was there, so I don't think she's left. And last but not least, Cher. Cher said she actually, let me make sure I get the quote right. Cher said she was going to leave the planet if Donald Trump was reelected president. So I guess she's going to have to call Elon for that. Not real sure how she's going to get off the planet. But in the seconds I've got here, I've got a great idea. I think when Trump takes office, he needs to set up a federal budget line item to help pay these celebrities who want to leave the country. We'll even buy them a first class ticket. And you know what? I would even contribute to that. If it was a 501c3 and I could get a tax break, I would donate to a Ship the Celebrities Abroad fund, and they would get at least $100 from me, maybe $250, depending on how much wine I've had. Brad Young sitting in tonight on At Your Service. More next on Camo X.